A lot of people have been going through it, but it's glad, you know, I think that we just about got everybody well. I mean, there's still some recovering, but we praise God. You know, what I'm ready to do is not basically just have all this stuff get behind us.
Yeah.
Seems like every time we get on an uphill swing lately, we've had to deal with something else. Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking as they were showing off that beautiful little baby, and I, you know, things change. Things change. Now, y'all would not really know it to look at me today, but I was a cute baby. Really cute. Sometimes I look at pictures of me and my wife when we got married, and I think, people are going to look at these pictures and think, you're not even married to the same guy. Things change, don't they? Brother Rick, I'm sure you were a cute baby. Things change. Things change.
My head wasn't big. My belly wasn't big.
Oh. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bible, we're going to read in Hebrews chapter number 12, and we're going to read a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians. I'll try to move as quickly as God will allow. And my heart's desire and prayer is to bring to you what God wants. And let's remember, it's not about us, it's about Him. We want God to be lifted up, honored in everything that we say and do in this place. And we want God to be at the forefront, the center, high and lifted up as we serve Him. But I want to speak for just a few minutes about this subject, running the race. You know, we've been running a race. We talked a little bit about last week about pressing on, and this is kind of what stuck in my heart for this week. But I want to read this scripture, and you listen to the words, and then we'll go over to 1 Corinthians, just a little bit of reading, and think about what it means. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now I want to flip back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want to read the 24th through the 26th verse, just three verses. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, and not as one that beateth the air." I want to go ahead and read the 27th verse. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, if we look at this scripture, it's talking about running in a race, and it brings us back to Christ, and it points us to Christ to realize that we're not running alone. We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Talks a little bit about what He endured. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we have to make decisions to fight. We have to make decisions to run. We have to make decisions to press on. And I've said this often, I've used this scripture sometimes in Celebrate Recovery. Jesus resisted sin all the way to blood. In other words, He so resisted sin that it cost Him His life. Sometimes in my life, I've had to make a decision that I'm going to do what God wants me to do regardless. And you think, well, if I choose to follow the Lord, then I mean, everything's just going to be fine. It's going to be all right. I'm not going to have any problems. I'm not going to have any difficulty. I can remember when I got saved and I accepted the Lord. And yes, it was different. But I can also remember one time being in a church, the same little church, and I heard a preacher preaching about Job. And he started talking about Job and he said, "Don't think that just because you've decided to follow Christ, that everything in your life is just going to be great all the time. Going to be rosy all the time and you're not going to have any problems." He said it wasn't that way for Job. But what we have to do is decide that we're going to follow the Lord because He's the Lord. We're going to follow Him because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has a plan and a direction for our life. We're going to follow the Lord because He's the only way to heaven. We're going to follow Jesus because He is our Savior. Not because we don't have trouble. Not because we don't have difficulty. Because as I mentioned to one of our deacons this morning, as we looked around the church and we talked about the challenges, we talked about the sickness, we talked about family problems, we talked about the difficulties that each of us have, the truth is everybody is going through something. Now, I want to talk for just a few minutes about running the race, and I just want to try to give you some points and some things that I believe that will help us, and we're going to have some scriptures we go through here. But I want us to consider as we run this race, number one, we run this race with direction. We run the race with direction. That means that we remember why that we are in this race and that we are going somewhere. God has a plan. Heaven in the end. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, "Well, where are you going?" Some people don't know. I want to tell you, when I leave this walks of life, I'm going to heaven in the end. And that's the plan, because God has a plan that as we run this race while we're here on this earth, we're fulfilling the mission that God has for each individual. Basically, what we're doing as His children is we are fulfilling His story. And we are making history. If you break that word down, it's His story. You know, the prayer that we pray for Celebrate Recovery, it says, "Lord, help me to accept the things that I cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference." And it goes on and it says, "So that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next." But what we have to do is we have to continue walking in the direction that God has for us to go. Because what we're doing here right now, it does matter and it does mean something. What you do for God, it matters. And your testimony, it matters. So we run the race with direction, but we also run the race with submission. And this is where a lot of people get sideways with God. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to bow to anyone. I've heard people say that they are Christian, and when you ask them, "Have you ever repented and asked Jesus into your heart?" One of them spoke up, well-known person, said, "Repent for what? I've never done anything wrong." The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. It also says in another place, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." The Scripture says in the book of James chapter 4, speaking of our Lord, said, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Therefore submit yourselves therefore to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." It says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." You know, I heard Brother Jeff there, brother, mentioning that going through that is humbling. It's humbling to realize that one day you can be so strong, and the next day you just don't even feel like getting up. But I want to tell you what I believe as a Christian, every day should be an humbling experience. Every time you're able to get up and get out of the bed and God has blessed you, it ought to humble you. Every time that you can stand up and sing a song, it ought to humble you. Every time you look in the mirror and your makeup and your hair is just right, it ought to humble you. And I'll say this, and it's true, nothing that you have, would you have it if it were not for the grace of God. Every blessing of life, everything that God gives us. There's a song that Archie Watkins sings where he talks about getting up and thanking the Lord for another day. Going out and getting in his old truck and driving to work, thanking the Lord for another day. Every blessing, every promise, you have it only because of God. I want to tell you something, and I'm going to move on. There's no place whatsoever for pride or arrogance at all in the life of a Christian. If you think you're something, you're missing it. That's why the scripture says, humble yourself. I'd much rather come before the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. Like the song, I'm not worthy, but he's humbled us. He's blessed us. Because if you humble yourself, God won't have to humble you. The last thing I would want is to feel like God's judgment was on me because I didn't humble myself. So you run with direction, you run with submission, which means you run with obedience. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, the scripture says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. You see, sometimes rather than doing what God says or what God leads, we want to do what we want. But can I tell you, it's best for us as we run this race to stop arguing with God. It's like arguing with the coach. I believe, you know, that Christians ought to be coachable. That means when the Holy Spirit moves and God begins to lead you, don't argue with the coach. Amen. God knows more than we know. And at some point, we must accept the fact that He is God and we are not. We must also run the race with accountability. You know, sometimes people don't want to be held accountable. They don't want anybody talking about or mentioning anything about what they're doing or where they've been or what they've done. But if we submit to God, God cares enough about you that He's going to speak to you when you're not going the right way. You know, God didn't call me and He didn't call these deacons to be His police. We're servants. That's what we are. Deacons are servants. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Pastor is a servant. Why? Why do you say that? Because every week, a pastor that's serving God gets on his face and he asks God, show me exactly what you want for your people. Why? Because you're God's people. And God loves you. And He cares enough about you to send the Word to speak to your heart. That's why the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, hear, O my son, and review my sayings, and the years of thy life may be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You see, we come to a point sometimes that if we don't submit to God, sometimes people end up quitting on God. One thing that I don't ever want in my life is be in a place that God no longer speaks to me. Have you ever had anybody in your life, and this could be a loved one, a family member, a brother, a sister, a sibling, a child, that you speak to them and you try to give them direction so much and they don't listen that you just get to the point that you stop telling them? I want God to keep telling me. We run the race with accountability. We also run with endurance. Now let's just be honest. It's not been easy lately, has it? It's been tough. We've lost so many that we love. We've dealt with things with this COVID over the past couple of years. People losing jobs, having to change jobs. Difficulties that come in your life that maybe you would have never thought you'd have to experience. Things that jump on you, that surprise you, that try your faith to the point that you even question God and where God is at. But we should run this race with endurance. I was talking to my boss at work, and I've talked to people I work with. I'm going to tell you, it's tough. Supply chain issues, trying to get enough people. And I told my boss, I said, there are days that I come into work, and I think it's so difficult, I'm just going to lay my phone and my key on my desk, and I'm going to walk out. Because the pressures get so great that you don't think about the consequences. You don't think about the benefits you're going to lose. You don't think about the salary that you're going to lose. I want to tell you something, that's work. But people do that in church too. I've been serving God. I've been trying to keep going for God. Why am I experiencing this? Why is it keeping on? Why is the difficulty here? Why is it the way that it is? But I want to tell you something, folks. God wants you to press on. He wants you to keep on. Because the end result has not changed. Remember what we said a minute ago? We're going to heaven in the end. But the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see, the truth is, sometimes the race is hard. Sometimes it hurts. But that's why the scripture tells us, ye which are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Do you know why you need to be in the house of God? Because you're going to need God. And you're going to need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I've been to 10 funerals since Christmas, but I want to tell you something. When I go in and I see people comforted by brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hear testimonies, excuse me, it's encouraging to me. What would you do without God? When I look at what it said, and it talked about Jesus enduring hardness, what did Jesus do? He went all the way to the cross for you and me. You see, sometimes, and this is true for Christians, when you endure hardness and you honor God, God gets so much glory. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he lost his wife, Christian man, and he made the comment. He said, you know, in this life, sometimes we hurt and we don't understand. He said, but for the Christian, what you do is you come to the point because you know that you're going to be with God. You don't fight all the way to the end. There's a peace that comes. And you thank God for that peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. So that when the world looks at you and they don't understand how you can endure and how you can continue, that's your opportunity to point them to Him. Testimony after testimony after testimony. We run this race with endurance, and we also run it to finish. You know, if we look at our lives and we don't know how much time that we're going to have on this earth, I've seen people go out into eternity at a very young age. And I was recently part of a service where a person was 98 years old. But when you get to the point you're looking at life, 98 is just a vapor. Talking to a man yesterday, and we were talking about our age. We're a similar age, and I didn't bring it up, but he did. He said, you know, we're at the age that we have to be looking and paying attention. Because you never know what's next. But what God wants us to do is run this race to finish the race. The last thing that we want to do in our lives as Christians is start out strong and be serving God and come to the place like we are today in America where there's so much coming against Christians. Churches, do you know that there are a lot of churches that have not made it through the pandemic? They've had to close. Talked to a man last week that said they had an entire age group of their church left. He said, we're still there. We're still having church. He said, but everybody that was this age, is gone. Why? They're not running the race. We want to run this race to finish this race. You don't want to get near the end and quit, but you want to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Keep going. Finish strong. Now, folks, I could take any one of these verses and go on for another 30 minutes. That's not expedient right here. But here's something I want you to understand. The same thing that I said last week. We have so many reasons to be serving God. You know, you can think about your children, you can think about your neighbors, you can think about your lost loved ones, you can think about the condition of this country, you can think about the need for a revival, you can think about people that need direct intervention in their life. But I want to tell you something, if we don't stand and run in this race, even though sometimes it's difficult, what's going to happen? Brother Billy, sometimes I complain a little too much. I sat down the other night, and I was doing what I do. I was searching for something fit to watch on TV. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to come back, and he's going to sing for us this morning. But I flipped over, and I saw an old black and white movie called Grapes of Wrath. And some of you, I'm sure, have never seen it, and I'm sure some of you young people haven't seen it. But it was about the Great Depression. And it was a family out of Oklahoma that were farmers. And they had lost everything they had. And they loaded up on a truck, and they started out across the country trying to have enough gas, trying to keep the vehicle running, to go to California just so they could pick in fields. And they got there, and there were no jobs. And they went into a camp, and the mother tried to prepare something, what she had for the family. And there were little kids standing all around the pots, and they were watching them eat. And as I watched that, it connected with me. And I thought about that verse of Scripture I read last Sunday. Or said, you run with a footman, and that's wearied you. How are you going to do when you face the horses? And if in the land of peace and safety wherein thou dwellest, how shall you contend with the swelling of the Jordan? And I thought about the reality of it in America today is we are so blessed. Yes, we do have challenges. Yes, we do have difficulty. But have we gotten to the point that we've forgotten the blessings of God? Have we forgotten how important it is that everything that you do in life, every decision, young people, that's where you go to school. That's who you marry. That's the job that you take. That's where you live. That's where you go to church. Have you prayed and asked God for His guidance and leadership? And I'll just be honest, as I watched that movie, I had my complaints. I had my issues. But I couldn't help to get down by my bed and say, God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God, that I haven't seen my children go hungry. Thank you, God, that I haven't had a pot that I was trying to feed my family out of with 10 little kids standing around. You say, well, that don't happen in America. It has. And if we don't keep our heart and our mind and our focus on the Lord, folks, I'm wanting Jesus to come back before that happens again. But if you're running in this race, God wants you to finish. He wants you to keep your mind and your focus on Him and keep going. We have so much to do for God. I'm going to ask you, as Brother Jeff sings, if you would stand to your feet. I want you to know that God loves you. God cares so much about you. I don't even know how to tell you. I can't. But if you want a personal relationship with Him, you can come and find it. Amen. If you want strength, you can come and get that. Maybe you just want to come and thank God for His blessings this morning. But if God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, now's your time.
Well, it's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. But often I fail Him and cause Him you know. It's my desire. Is it your desire this morning? Is it my desire? Make it be your desire. It's my desire.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. It's one of my